Thank you for being here. This is the Agronomy, Physiology, and Soils Conference, early morning. Our first speaker is Dr. Kelly Thorpe. He'll visit with us a little bit about cotton yield and water use response to variable irrigation rate and timing. Dr. Thorpe, it's all yours.
Thank you. Is that working?
Yes, it's working.
Good morning. So today I'd like to report on 3 years of field studies that we did in Arizona using a variable rate irrigation system to apply different rates and times to cotton. But first I'll sort of introduce cotton production in Arizona. Of course, it requires irrigation. Our growing season ET can be 1,000 millimeters or more, yet we only receive 100 millimeters of rainfall or so. So irrigation is required. Traditionally and even currently in the area, farmers use furrow irrigation that is facilitated by the infrastructure that's in place for delivery of Colorado River water through Arizona and to the irrigation districts in the cotton production regions. So typically there's lots of tillage, there's laser leveling, there's bed shaping and forming, and cotton's planted on raised beds. But we do have water resource issues due to drought in the Colorado River Basin. Phoenix is a growing metro, Tucson is a growing metro, and there are other uses, there are other needs for water in the area. Climate change and a variety of other things have made it such that we need improvements in irrigation techniques there. And so a main objective of our unit in the past decade or so has been to begin studying pressurized irrigation systems, sprinkler systems, and drip systems for cotton in Arizona. This is a look at the Maricopa Stanfield Irrigation District. Again, it's primarily surface irrigation, which you can see from the rectangular shaped fields in the area that facilitates the style of irrigation. But you can see a number of pivots that have gone up. We're located at the Maricopa Agricultural Center, which is east of Maricopa, and we've seen several pivots put up just right next to our research station in the last years. In addition, the most notable thing probably is that the Akchin Indian community, which is located south of Maricopa, manage about 40 lateral move systems. So the lateral moves actually fit better on the fields that were originally used for surface irrigation. In 2014, the USDA obtained a six-span lateral move system that was installed on a 16-acre portion of the Maricopa Ag Center. And this has been our primary field for doing cotton irrigation research in the last few years. It receives water from an existing ditch that's part of the Maricopa Ag Center system of canals. So we receive water through an open ditch. The next year, in 2015, we added commercial equipment for variable rate irrigation. So that included a panel for uploading geo-referenced maps of fields so you can delineate zones and put in different rates, percentages, and the hardware on the machine will then reduce the rates in those areas. There are wireless, it works wirelessly, so the rates from the panel are communicated to wireless nodes along the length, and those nodes control 4 solenoids at the top of each drop. And there are 2 GPS receivers on each end of the machine to position it within the map. To begin using this system from 2016 to 2018, we completed a series of irrigation rate and timing experiments where the rates, we had 4 rates, they were 60, 80, 100, and 120% of a scheduling recommendation from an irrigation scheduler. We divided the season into 2 timings, one from squaring to peak bloom and one from peak bloom to 90% open bowl. If you put the four, the different combinations of the four rates and the two times, it makes 16 total irrigation regimes, and those were replicated four times across the field. We used one variety, it was Delta Pine 1549, and at the center of each treatment plot, where the black dot is located, we installed neutron access tubes for measuring soil moisture so that we could monitor soil moisture weekly over the season and calculate water extraction by the cotton. This is a look at environmental conditions over the three growing seasons, showing maximum temperature. You can see regularly exceeds 40 C in the mid part of the June and July of the year. Minimum temperature and dew point. The gray shaded areas represent days where we had level one and level two heat stress. So this is a quantity that's calculated and reported by our Arizona Meteorological Network. And the other characteristic of our area is the Arizona monsoon, which is a noticeable increase in humidity during July and August in the summertime. So that brings moisture into the area, and we get all of about maybe a couple inches of rainfall, if we're lucky. Cover crops were grown in the winter season between cotton. So that would have been planted in roughly December and then terminated with Roundup in March. In the first two seasons, we did all the normal tillage that a grower would do for surface irrigation, because we're still trying to learn how to adapt these overhead sprinkler systems for our area. Finally, in the last season, we obtained equipment for planting no-till cotton, and so in 2018, we planted the cotton directly into terminated barley cover crop. Traditionally in Arizona, there's lots of pre-plant irrigation applied via a large surface flood. Not knowing any different way to do it, we did that same practice with the sprinkler. So we've applied a lot of water in the pre-season in all 3 years, and I think generally trying to reduce that amount as we move into the future. And then after planting, we'd apply up 3 to 5 inches of water for emerging the crop over several weeks following planting. This is a look at the irrigation and rainfall time series over the three growing seasons. Again, rainfall is usually less than 100 mils. Short crop reference ET is around 1400 mils. You can see the range of irrigation, cumulative irrigation applied, ranging from 900 mils to 1500 mils among the different irrigation treatments. We collected a lot of data from these studies, but here I'm going to focus only on our cotton yield metrics, a few metrics about water, including the total seasonal ET, crop water use efficiency and irrigation water use efficiency, and fiber quality metrics. We fit linear mixed models to these data, and you can see the relationships between measured and modeled data. So if fiber yield, seed yield, seasonal ET, irrigation water use efficiency, micronair, and fiber strength. So the models are able to fit the data over the 3 years with errors less than 12%. So I'm going to go through a series of figures now that demonstrate the response of both measured and modeled metrics for the range of irrigation management scenarios that we imposed in the field. So on the left, we have the measured data. This would be the average measured among replications and years. So we have four rates in both the first irrigation period and the second irrigation period. On the right is basically an extrapolation of the fitted linear mixed model so that we could look at the data in finer detail. And the X and Y axis are defined with what I call IPETO, which is total irrigation applied plus rainfall during that irrigation period, normalized by short crop reference ET. So in this figure for yield, the main, be reminded that the 100% treatment in both cases, this would be the treatment that our current irrigation scheduling recommended to apply. And so the other treatments essentially demonstrate what happens when you begin to deviate from the recommendation.
So what this shows is that if we drop the irrigation by 20% in the early part of the season, the yield is really not affected that much. So what that told us was that that's probably the greatest opportunity for improvement of irrigation management in what we did in the early season. We should focus on improving our efficiency in the early part of the season.
This is a look at seasonal ET. Essentially, ET follows, under sprinkler irrigation in Arizona, ET follows very closely with water applied. We don't leach much
for being efficient. So the plots essentially are correlated with total water applied. Similar results to this pattern were achieved for a couple of the fiber quality metrics, including short fiber content and upper half mean length, maybe indicating that those two are also related to total water applied. This is a look at irrigation water use efficiency defined as the fiber yield divided by the total volume of irrigation water applied over the season. So again, you can see opportunities for increasing water use efficiency by focusing on reducing rates in the early season. That improved irrigation water use efficiency by fine-tuning.
That's the opportunity we have, is to figure out how to better make decisions and fine-tune the early season irrigation decisions.
And finally, you notice that if you over-apply in the second half of the season, that makes irrigation water use efficiency take a hit, of course, because you're probably applying water that's not being used to produce yield. And so that gives us opportunity to come up with ways to clarify the method for terminating, deciding when irrigation should be terminated in order to improve efficiency. This is a look at Micronair. So you may know that the premium for Micronair, the range is from 3.7 to 4.2. You can see from our figures, we only have one treatment that is within, on average, over 3 years within the premium range. And that is for a treatment that was severely stressed in the early season and then overwatered in the later part of the season. So actually, that is kind of a not a very practical way to irrigate, and leads us to conclude that achieving the premium Micronair in our area is hard, is difficult. Could be this variety, but certainly the environmental conditions in Arizona make this difficult. This is a look at fiber strength. Essentially, it says if you reduce the irrigation in the second period, it'd be these here, that's where you take the hit on fiber strength, independent of what you do in the first part of the season. And a similar pattern was obtained for fiber elongation at failure.
So in conclusion, these studies were done to provide guidance for how we do sprinkler irrigation in Arizona. It led us to conclude that we could fine-tune our scheduling decisions maybe in the early season by reducing or eliminating the pre-water irrigation, by clarifying the recommendations for irrigation in the early season. And also, I think there's opportunity, we didn't test this, but I think there's opportunity to use irrigation to prevent loss of squares or bowls due to heat stress. So if we could figure out how to incorporate those metrics into the decision. On the other hand, full irrigation is required during bowl filling to maintain yield and improve fiber quality, but we can clarify the decision making for terminating irrigation at the end of the season to improve and maintain high irrigation water use efficiency.
And that's all I have.
Take data on, we did a lot of intensive mapping of the plants, which I didn't present that data here, but I don't think we took much on the size of the fruit. Yeah. We, if we do, I'm not totally aware, but. Yeah, I can look at that.
Back to the multi dispersals, we did some work with Kurkowski a few years ago on a similar study. And I would say one thing we did is that we didn't measure multi but it gets some indication of it eventually by taking just a total number of bulls from the mapping compared to your yield and actually some idea of what effect you have on the percentage.
Okay, I can.